where this offseason is heading for the Twins and looking at options who may be in their shopping cart on today's episode of Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Friday, November 26th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day. I know I did. Ate a lot, slept, felt good. Hope you enjoyed yours. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. Now, as we get into the holiday season and deeper into this offseason. So I broke it down a little bit, I think, earlier this week, but we are heading toward a lockout because of the CBA, collective bargaining agreement. And people are sick of hearing it, but it impacts free agency a ton. And next week, the owners are going to lock out the players and free agency is going to be halted. Trades are going to be halted. Rosters are going to freeze. So the offseason is basically going to freeze. And we're not going to hear of a lot of signings. We're not going to hear of any signings as long as rosters are frozen because it's not allowed. And I don't even know if like negotiating is allowed. I don't think that that's allowed either, but we'll see. And as soon as it unfreezes, there's going to be a flurry. So we're going to be busy at that point. But we know next week, I think it's Monday or Tuesday, we're going to get the tenders as well. So we'll break that down. We'll have a lot of content for you, I promise, this offseason, even as the rosters freeze, breaking down a ton of free agents and breaking down what the Twins are going to do here, because I think we're trending in a certain direction. I think there's a finite direction here. And I want to preface this by saying I could be very wrong about this prediction, because that's ultimately what it is. I haven't talked to Derek Falvey. I haven't talked to Thad Levine. I haven't talked to the Twins front office about what they're planning to do. I haven't heard what they're planning to do. But this is me reading the tea leaves of what we know so far this offseason. We know that 9 of the 21 starting pitchers, I think Ben Kaspic tweeted this today, Locked On Giants, does an amazing job. I'd follow Ben too. Just general baseball stuff and Giants stuff. Fascinating club. Anyway, tweeted today, and I retweeted it. You can follow me at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. I believe it's 9 of the 21 starting pitchers in the top 50 among free agents have already signed. And it's not that the Twins haven't signed those guys. It's not that they haven't. That's part of it, that they haven't signed those guys. But what we've heard on almost every single one of these guys, I want to thank Darren Wolfson, our friend, for always having our back and letting us know if the Twins had interest. He's got his lines, and we really appreciate that. And we'll have Darren on this offseason. Hopefully he comes on pretty soon. But he's letting people know, like, they didn't have interest in X. They didn't have interest in Y. There's no really interest in Eduardo Rodriguez. They had some fans in their front office, I guess, in the Twins front office who liked him, but ultimately not serious about him. They made an offer to Andrew Heaney, which I think plays right into where I think this offseason is heading. And sounds like they're not interested in Marcus Stroman. They're not really interested in Javier Baez. And it just doesn't sound like they are aggressively pursuing the top middle end or the top end free agents. And it's hard for me not to think this doesn't mean this is an omen for the offseason. And it doesn't have to be an omen, because maybe it works. But I can't say I'm not disappointed by where this is heading. And what I mean by where this is heading is I think we're trending toward, and I feel dumb because I should have known this, like getting my hopes up. And I'm still going to be optimistic that they'll have a solid offseason. I think if you're able to extend Byron Buxton, your offseason automatically starts at a B for me. It automatically is a successful offseason to me if you're able to extend Byron Buxton. Maybe that's setting the bar super low, but I think it feels like such a long shot at this point that if they're able to get that done and they're able to secure Buxton, which they need to do, I think, and if they don't, it'll be a mistake. And I've said that many, many times. If they're not able to do that, the offseason, it's going to be hard to recover. But on the flip side, if they're able to do that, I think it already makes it a successful offseason in terms of how I feel going into the future and how I feel about my confidence with this front office. Because something that I've talked about all week and have talked about a lot is their staunchness to creating financial flexibility every offseason. And that's all fine and well. I think that's a smart way to operate. I think it's the right way to operate in baseball, especially when you have a mid-level payroll. So the Twins do, as we know. It's a smart way to operate. Keep the books clean. This current system screws young players. We know that. It sucks. They don't get paid nearly what they should be getting paid, and it really favors free agency, and it really favors the players in free agency. When you get to free agency, you make your money there, and before free agency, you don't really make your money. So you can take advantage of that by extending players. You can take advantage of that by loading your team with good young players, and that allows you the flexibility to go out into free agency and sign Josh Donaldson, or we've seen the White Sox do it, sign Yasmani Grandal, or whoever, Liam Hendricks and Kendall Graveman, gives you that flexibility. And so in a vacuum, I like it. I like that. But who cares about financial flexibility when you can't secure those frontline starters, when you can't secure those big-time free agents, when you aren't even in the running for those free agents? Why does it matter that you have flexibility if you're unable to sign those guys? And that's been my point. Like, what? Why are you sitting around if you're not going to spend the money that you've worked so hard to free up? Right? They've tried to free up this money. They've made sure that they're not making poor investments in recent off seasons, the Keuchels or the Bumgarners or the Ryus, making sure, and I'm not saying they're all, that's their choice. I think, you know, they wanted to sign Zach Wheeler. They wanted to sign Yu Darvish and just didn't get them. And that's another factor in this is free agency. You win some, you lose some. But I just don't know what the flexibility is doing for you if you're not taking advantage of said flexibility by extending a Jose Berríos, a Byron Buxton, or signing a free agent. So that's been my point all week. But I want to turn and look toward the rest of this offseason. First, I want to tell you about Built Bar. It's the most wonderful time of year. Today's Black Friday. Built is going all out to make this Black Friday weekend the most delicious Black Friday that ever was in the history of Black Fridays. New limited time flavors. New types of bars in a winter wonderland of a deal. Built Bar is really delicious. My dad always tries to take my Built Bars and I have to slap his hand away. You want high-end deliciousness at a discount all through Black Friday weekend. Get at least 20% off anything and everything at Built.com. Enter promo code LOCKED20. There's a new flavor. It's a Ruby Chocolate Puffs. Absolutely delicious. Marshmallowy goodness. New flavor, Lemon Dip Cheesecake Puffs. Do you love lemon cheesecake? You'll love Lemon Dip Cheesecake Puffs. And a new Built Bar, a new bar built Crave Bar. A Built Bar Friday weekend isn't complete without the word free. Buy any box of Built Bars through Sunday and get two of their brand new candy bars, Built Crave, for free. That's 20% off Built Bars and two free Crave Bars, all at Built.com. Plus, you can get 60% off Built Broth and Built Boost and 40% off Built Swag. Just enter code LOCKED20 at Built.com. Thank you again for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Looking at the rest of this offseason for the Twins. So all of that monologue that I've had this week, looking at the big picture, what does that really mean? Well, I think this is where we're trending, folks, and this is where they've gone, especially with starting pitchers. 1 and 2 year deals, low level, 1 and 2 year deals this offseason. I think we're heading in that direction, and you're going to think, why? And I'm also thinking, why? So when I give you these reasons, it's not me defending what they're doing. I'm not defending the front office and what I think is happening here. Again, that's what I think. They could go out and sign Robbie Ray tomorrow, and that would debunk my whole theory here. But I'm not defending them by giving you these reasons of why they would do this, because they're not doing it without reason. So I'm just a little bit of devil's advocacy, it may sound like, but just why would they do this? Here's why. Number one, it's a buzzword. Financial flexibility. I have 3 exclamation points. Financial flexibility, financial flexibility, financial flexibility. It is the biggest reason among all. And it's such an umbrella term. It's such a buzzword, but it can be used in a, we're smart. We value financial flexibility. It can be used in a, we're cheap. We don't sign anyone. We value financial flexibility, right? So it can be used in a bunch of different ways. But what I mean by that is it's all about keeping the books clean. Like that's what this is about. And it's not about keeping the books clean to save money for the Pollad family and for ownership. It's keeping the books clean so you make the right investments. And it's keeping the books clean so you have options in free agency. And again, my point has been, what's the point of keeping those books clean if you don't fill them at some point, right? And maybe they're seeing next offseason is the time that they're going to fill it. You see with other teams. And I don't want to always compare the Twins to the Giants because that was amazing what they just did and what was expected of them. And I think what was expected of them before last year is about where the Twins will be, 75 to 80 wins in a division that's improving in the National League West and in the American League Central for the Twins. The Giants have freed up so much money, and because they had one-year deals last year, because they've signed guys to one-year deals and to low-level deals, it allowed them, after breaking out this year, to have so much money come off the books and to have pieces in place where they can go out and sign Chris Bryant to a long-term deal or re-sign Kevin Gausman, re-sign their stars who helped them get there. You know, they have that flexibility. So that's when it's done right. When you make the right choices in free agency, Anthony DeSclafani, you know, Alex Wood, Kevin Gausman, bringing him in and re-signing him to that qualifying offer as well, extending that after a solid but unspectacular shortened season in 2020, those are the right decisions, and that's the process. But those are the right decisions. For the Twins, they follow a similar model, right? They sign Andrelton Simmons for 1 year. They signed Jay Happ for 1 year. They signed Matt Shoemaker for 1 year. They signed Alexander Colome for 1 year and an option. It's a very similar process, but it's not. Those weren't the right decisions. They made the wrong decisions with that process, so it didn't work. For the Giants, they followed a very similar blueprint, but they made the right decisions, right? And what I was hoping this offseason for the Twins is that they would adjust their process, because they've done this now for a couple of years, and they just haven't made the best decisions. Nelson Cruz was an absolute grand slam, literally. An absolute grand slam. Amazing signing. They don't have a great track record outside of Nelson Cruz. Michael Pineda was solid. You know, I would advocate bringing him back on the right deal for sure, especially if they're going this route where they're not going to sign anyone who's super, you know, high end. They don't have a good track record of doing this. You know, the Logan Morrisons, the Lance Lynns, they've followed this way. And then what that leads you to is, oh, we're going to hit and we're going to jump on Josh Donaldson for 4 years and $92 million, or we're going to jump on Zach Wheeler for 5 years and 125, I think is what he signed with Philly. So it allows you to be in the running, and it allows you to secure some guys like Donaldson. But again, you know, the Donaldson signing too, a lot of people were critical of it because he wasn't a starter, and they weren't able to get their number one starter target. Zach Wheeler, weren't able to get him, weren't able to get Yu Darvish. So what good does it do you if you can't go get those guys? And for the Twins, it's always going to be difficult to lure free agents A and free agent starting pitchers B. So my hope was, let's adjust this process. And what I mean by that is, let's not prioritize one-year deals so much, and prioritizing that financial flexibility hasn't worked out well because they haven't made the right decisions under that process. Let's adjust. And let's try to make some longer-term commitments, take some risks, and get some money on the books if we can secure guys who we like. I think that should have been the process, and it just feels like we're going in a different way. So financial flexibility is number one. That's why I spend so much time talking about it. We'll talk about the rest. I want to tell you about Built Bar. What a time to play. I mean, nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season as well. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this offseason. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. So financial flexibility is the number one reason I think the Twins are trending toward low-level one-year pitchers. Letting their starting pitching prospects emerge is another reason, keeping those spots open in the rotation. I would argue, like, you look at the Dodgers, and the Dodgers, you can't compare to the Dodgers because they have an endless payroll, but they never have a problem with having too many starting pitchers, right? You can always move one to the bullpen. You can always figure something out. You can always trade a starter. There's nothing wrong with having too many starters. So let's keep a spot open for our prospects. Let them take their own spots in the rotation, I think. And like I said, it's the Giants' process, finding diamonds in the rough on one-year deals. And they've had a little bit of success doing that in the bullpen specifically, but we haven't seen it outside of the bullpen. You know, finding a Jay Happ who works out, or Matt Shoemaker who works out. We just haven't really seen that. But that's the process they're trying to follow, that Giants process, the same thing the Giants did with Wood and DeSclafani and Gausman. you know, the next steps with this. So what does it mean that I think they're trending toward low-level deals? I think it means they could swing a trade for a controllable starter, just reading the tea leaves. I think they are probably open to swinging that trade for a good controllable starter because they have the prospect depth to do it. I think they're going to sign 1 to 3 projects like we saw the Giants do last year, probably including Michael Pineda. I think they'll sign a stopgap shortstop because I think they'll follow the same path, keeping that spot open for Royce Lewis, because if Royce Lewis steps in and he's your starting shortstop, think of the financial flexibility you save by not signing him or Javier Baez or someone else. And again, maybe they don't want to come. You hope your prospects step up into those roles, because if they don't, you're screwed. The team's going to suck, not only in 2022, but if the prospects don't step up in 2022, that means 2023, you might have to follow the exact same blueprint. Maybe what they're hoping is Balazovic, Sands, Duran, Lewis, Miranda, Martin, even Wallner, all these guys step up next year and make an impact either at AAA or in the majors to give you some hope. And then you say, okay, we have this young core again, and it's different, and we have a young controllable core. Now let's go out and get those big fish. I've said this every year, though. I mean, it just hasn't happened, but maybe that's what they're thinking. So who would we be looking at if they were looking for a couple projects? And Cody Perko wrote about Dylan Bundy at twinsdaily.com. I'm going to tell you about Dylan Bundy. He was a first-round pick in 2011 by Baltimore, 614 innings for Baltimore, 4.67 ERA, 95 ERA plus, so it was 5% worse than league average. Was traded to the Angels, was terrific in the shortened season. I remember watching Bundy and just thinking, what an amazing year he had. And you see, like, Gausman gets out of Baltimore and succeeds. Bundy gets out of Baltimore and succeeds. Maybe that's a trend, like it kind of is with the Rockies at times. So it wasn't exactly a huge surprise. But then he comes back in 2021, and it was his worst season yet. 6.06 ERA. He gave up 20 home runs in 90 and two-thirds innings. 5.51 fielding independent pitching. And then he shut down with a shoulder strain. So Dylan Bundy's going into this offseason as a free agent with his value so low, has to be looking at a one-year deal, especially with the injury questions. So enter the Minnesota Twins, one-year deal for a guy coming off injury. Obvious changes. I mean, we see this so much. I see this so much when I'm looking at free agent starters or starters I think the Twins should trade for, or starters currently on the Twins roster. Guys just, I guess, love throwing sinkers that get crushed, because Bundy throws a sinker 17% of the time in 2021. And gets destroyed. I mean, just can the thing. Stop throwing it. I think it's easy. You look at Bundy, like we found this out with Montas and Bassett, a little bit with Manaea too, with his changeup. You usually can see one good pitch, and that's what the Twins see too sometimes. They see one good pitch, and that's what the Giants saw with Gausman. Up that splitter usage for Gausman, and he turns a corner, you know, among other things, I'm sure, but that was a big part. You see Bundy's slider. It's obviously his best pitch. It's a high spin slider. But there's a caveat to that. Like, you look at his spin and you go, oh, God, that's amazing. His spin decreased, I think, 200 RPMs after the foreign substance crackdown. And he also, the whiff rate went way down. So he was getting less swings and misses, less spin on his slider. I think he was definitely impacted. It popped up a little bit. Spin rates had started to come back later in the season, I believe, were the reports. Maybe they found something else to use or found a way to get around it. So maybe it's not a huge concern, but that's a yikes that as soon as they crack down, his slider kind of loses its effectiveness. His fastball velocity was down to 89 miles an hour in August. So you wonder, is he even healthy? And this is a dart throw of all dart throws on Dylan Bundy. But here we go, folks. This is what I mean. You're not going to be excited about these signings, which sucks. You know, we're going to try to find ways to get excited about Dylan Bundy. But man, I mean, That's a way to kick a fan base that's already down, right? Maybe it could work out, but just from a morale and patience standpoint, that's not a super exciting path to take. But they're sticking to their guns. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. Thank you so much again. Have a great weekend. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all podcast platforms. Thank you again for listening. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube.